Blog Talk Radio.
UGS Radio is not intended for anyone under the age of 18 years old. We reserve the right to say whatever the fuck we want to say because we believe in free speech. And if you do not believe in free speech...
Get the fuck out of here, you stupid cocksucker!
For rap music's biggest online archive of legends and pioneer interviews as well as underground music from around the globe, visit us now at UGSforLife.com.
Yeah! President Beta! Murder Master Music Show! It's that kid, Hanilla! Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show, Jack! This right here is where the real rap at!
Real rap!
A fuck pile of stuff! We doing what we love just to hear it play back!
What's up, and it's Bootleg the Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy, Uncle Luke.
What up, y'all? This is E-Shop.
Yo, 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 what's up? This your boy, C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Records, Too Much Trouble, that's off the first album, Bringing Hell on Earth, Wanted Dead or Alive, and I believe it is, Let me bring on my guest. We got Black and Drunk D. I want to say rest in peace to Ghetto MC. He's no longer with us.
Ghetto. Appreciate
that, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. First and foremost, man, you know what I'm saying? We totally, you know, we want to thank you for having us on, man. This Drunk D speaking. And to all our listeners out there, man, and all the fans, man, we couldn't appreciate a better moment right now to still be recognized, man, you know what I'm saying, at this day and age, man, this late in the game. But there's still some fans out there that hadn't forgot about Too Much Trouble. I want to greatly appreciate y'all for that, man. And, you know, on behalf of my brother Ghetto, man, he truly missing, like you say, rest in peace, Ghetto.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to bring out my brother, Mac J. What up, Mac J? You're in here with Too Much Trouble.
What up with the prayers? I want to give a shout-out to Too Much Trouble, too, man. It's some of the music I grew up on, you know.
Yeah.
Right out of place in my life.
Real shit. We're from the Midwest, so we definitely, you know what I'm saying, got into rap a lot very heavily, you know what I'm saying? But we were the fans that didn't just listen to the Ghetto Boys, man. We went down the roster and got a hold of everybody's music, and you guys are one of those groups. You guys were on the Bring It On track, Drunk, you and Ghetto.
Yeah.
Which was like a classic posse song. How did you guys first come together as a group? What year did you guys form, and how did it all just go down?
Well, you know, the way we came together as a group, it started off with me and Ghetto, you know, and I mean, at E.O. Smith Middle School, this drunk you speaking, at E.O. Smith Middle School, man, we was young kids, we had started, you know, battling each other, actually, and the rest of what a lot of people don't know, we started battling against one another, right? And we always had a big dream of, you know what I'm saying, being in this rap game, part of this rap game, but once we started recognizing each other's skills, we said, let's just form a group, man. This is way back in the eighth grade, you know what I'm saying? I'm 41 right now, way back then. And the biggest thing was popping, man, when we turned teenagers, man, from throughout the struggle, throughout the hustle and all that, was rap a lot of records, man. So we was one of the Holly Hill, who would be a part of something, an independent label that was such recognized rap a lot with the Ghetto Boys. And, you know what I'm saying, you had to be, you know, the first Ghetto Boys with, you know, K-Roll, Jukebox, Car Freak, all that type of shit. And then, man, when Scarface came along and Willie D came along, man, you know what I'm saying, that's around the time that we was trying to get with rap a lot. And once we got with the Zayans, you know what I'm saying, he started listening to us and hearing about us, man, we performed for him and shit like that. And, you know, he kind of bit. But we had an idea, man, and nobody know how the Baby Ghetto Boys was formed. But this is how Baby Ghetto Boys was formed. We had an idea to have Bar None with Ghetto Boys. I didn't even know Bar None. The Ghetto knew. And that was a friend of him, right? We all knew Black. We was all friends. Me, Tracy, Bad News Black, and Ghetto, we was all partners. But I never did really know Bar None. I just knew of it. And we had an idea to have Bar None and Bushwick Bill stand on 212 packs of beer. You might think it's funny, man. But I'm saying it was the walls from holding pump shotguns for the gangster look, right? But when James seen that we had another dwarf, you know what I'm saying, especially a white dwarf, he said, well, man, we need to form this group called the Baby Ghetto Boys. Well, I have Ghetto Boys. That's how Baby Ghetto Boys, came to pass.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was already a local DJ in the neighborhood, and Ghetto came to me and offered me a little shot to go because they were going to get ready to sign. They needed a DJ. And he ran it all down to me that I knew all the guys, and we all just linked up, and then it couldn't, and D didn't mention this, but it was actually called Double Trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
It was called Double Trouble because it was just him and Ghetto, and I was in the background. But when they added Bar None to the clique, when Jay had the idea to add Bar None to it, that's when it became Too Much Trouble.
Baby Ghetto Boy. It was Too Much Trouble, baby, / Baby Ghetto Boy.
There you go. And we just took on the persona of them. We matched them so much. We was the younger of them. And, you know, we hung around them. It was like our big brothers. They mentored us so much at the time. So when Jay came up with the idea, he was like, shit, let's run with it. You know, he ain't going to hurt us. Definitely can't hurt us.
You guys were definitely like the younger version of the Ghetto Boys. You guys were more like the Mind of a Lunatic type of Ghetto Boys. You were just brutal as fuck. I mean, speaking on some of the most hardcore topics, You know what I'm saying? What was life like growing up for you guys in Houston?
Well, me basically, you know, speaking for Drunk D, man, growing up out of Fifth Ward, man, you know what I'm saying, H-Town, Fifth Ward, it was, life was hell, you know, for us out there, you know what I'm saying? I, you know, came up, you know, just a lot of drug dealing, you know what I'm saying? Half of my side of my family, you know what I'm saying, they didn't do some drugs, so I just grew up around that type of environment, man, you know what I'm saying, dice shooting, drugs, you know, just a street life, street mentality, you know, a lot of gunplay, a lot of today, that's how we grew up, that's how we was raised. So that's where, you know, most of our music, that's where the edge came from, that hardcore type of music that you heard back then. And not knowing it then, you know, then even though it was hitting hard or whatever, it was from the heart, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, we had no idea that even the video we shot, you know what I'm saying, it would never really get aired, never get played. We didn't know that we was hurting our career way back then, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people were scared to fuck with it. A lot of people were scared to touch it. You know, once they hear it, we was too expensive for a lot of people out there. But then you had guys like yourself, and you had the fans that really understood it, you know what I'm saying, and that welcomed us with open arms, you know what I'm saying, and really, really appreciated our music.
Right. I always wanted to know, like, how did you guys feel knowing that y'all was more than just regional favorites, and it was people outside of y'all region listening to y'all music and supporting y'all music?
It was a trip, man. It was really a trip because when we went on tour, you know, you think you just got the hood, you think you got your homeboys, you think you got these people here, and then you venture out and you notice that these people are actually singing this shit. Now we wave the head out here and such and such, and you look out in the crowd and they're actually singing your shit. It's really amazing, and it's really a trip to say they actually know about it. I mean, but damn. I can't even speak in the words on how much love we got during the time.
And the love was so overwhelming, and right then at that moment, you know what I'm saying, I know black feel the same way I feel, just like I'm sure Barnard felt the same way, and then Ghetto felt the same way too, you know what I'm saying? At that moment, man, I realized that it was that the world had a lot to offer. You understand? We never been out the hood. We never been out the ghetto. All we thought, man, we was trapped for so long in that environment to where we thought that's all it was. You know, we used to see motherfuckers with, you know, their hands fame, and that was getting in and doing their thing or whatever. But we never thought that would really be us. So, to be honest with you, we really never took the game serious, man. You know what I'm saying? Even though we was a rapper, like, we were still selling dope. We were still hustling because we never really believed that was really, you know what I'm saying, reality was really kicking it in there for us. And when it took us by storm, man, we didn't really know how to accept this. You know what I'm saying? It was so fast. It happened so fast to where it played out so fast. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people say that we should skip in the game. We should skip. But it played out way faster than where we anticipated because we wasn't ready for that shit at the time. You know, and like you say, you know, Rap-A-Lot was one of the biggest, you know, the biggest label, independent label down south at the time, you know what I'm saying, with a reputation not to be fucked with. And so by them having a reputation not to be fucked with, we carried that same shit, you know what I'm saying, the street shit into the rap game. You know, so wherever we went, you know, whatever club we went to, we terrorized, you know, we did all kind of damn crazy shit. And it wasn't never about business. It was just about a street mentality, man. So, you know, but the answer to the question was women. To realize, you know, that everything, once a motherfucker sit down and starts realizing that he can really make something happen with his life, you know what I'm saying? Not saying it was too late, but then at that time, we didn't take care of the business ahead of time, so we kind of, you know, played ourselves fucking with this rap game.
And the killing part is, no one informed us. No one informed us for success. No one informed us that it just might happen. So when we went, like D was saying, we went to the club, we wild out. I mean, we got drunk, high, everything in it, what you looking at, you know, we'll fight, do anything. We wasn't prepared for success.
No, we weren't prepared for it. I mean, and it wasn't an act, man. It's just how we was, you know what I'm saying? Even myself, speaking for myself on this one, you know, I was raised real fucked up, you know what I'm saying, a fucked up childhood. So I was bitter anyway when I got in the game, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't really give a damn about, you know what I'm saying, motherfucker making money, you know what I'm saying? I was already making money, you know what I'm saying? When I was 14, 15, 16, 17, I was already pushing so much fucking dope to where the rap game, you know what I'm saying, was secondary. I never took it serious, but I loved the game so motherfucking much, and when I started realizing that we had fans and people started appreciating our talent, man, you know what I'm saying, I started wanting to take a bit by better look at this shit, you know what I'm saying? But we were being so deep, with other situations to where it was confusing a motherfucker at the same time.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, you guys were so young too. I mean, how that much success? I mean, this is at this point in time, the label had just went platinum.
Yeah.
I remember seeing an interview with you guys on UMTV Raps. It was a Ghetto Boys interview, but I think they had you guys was on there. 3-2 was on there, I think. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think Seagram or Nip was on there. But I remember seeing you guys, man, and I was like, shit, these motherfuckers are going to blow up. You know, banging on Little Rock. You guys hit, was in the background.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sure was.
Yeah.
I just watched that not too long ago, too, maybe about 3 or 4 months. And then, like, Prince, we just listened to songs earlier. I mean, y'all had classic songs, man.
Jack Mission with Seagram.
Yeah, when I hear it, I start smiling and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember a time and a place when I hear y'all music. It's timeless, man.
92, 91, 93. I mean, those were the defining, you know what I'm saying, years of my life. Those were the moments where I was acting crazy. You know what I'm saying? And not knowing if I was going to even come home. You know, and you guys were the soundtrack to that shit.
It's a trip, though, how you say that, because D and Ghetto, man, they just balls out, man. They let it all hang out. That's how you got songs like Purse Snatchers, Taking Pussy and all this shit. Man, them niggas didn't care at that time. Man, them niggas was balls out, man. They said, we gonna talk. I think at that point in time, we was really trying to be more explicit than the Ghetto Boys. So if we was gonna fail, we was gonna fail at doing what the fuck we wanted to do. And D and Ghetto made sure that you heard them.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then on top of that, what Black's saying, you know what I'm saying, absolutely right about that, man. And on top of that, you know what I'm saying, and no disrespect to the Ghetto Boys, ain't nothing but love and respect, you know what I'm saying, they go for rap a lot as well, but for as far as me speaking, we was really in the motherfucking streets. You know, we was really in them streets, man. And that got a lot to do with the way we was talking, the shit, the concepts of our music, you know, the not give a fuck attitude, because we felt like motherfuckers didn't care, and we didn't care. So that's how we expressed ourselves. So that's why you had those songs, and not never knowing in a million years that some of those songs would be classics, you know, some people, some opinion, man. And which is a great feeling. And when you look back on everything, man, it was more definitely, it was well worth it, you know what I'm saying, to be part of a legacy, a dynasty, you know, fucking with Rap-A-Lot and this and that, man, because I'm going to be honest with you, you know, if it hadn't been for Rap-A-Lot, I'd probably be in a penitentiary. I'd probably be dead, you know what I'm saying, or some shit like that on a whole other level. So they have a lot to do with where I'm at in my life today. But at the end of the day, things just didn't pan out the way we all expected, all the way we all hoped in the end. In the beginning, like I said early on, we just didn't have any clue what this shit could have been, what it should be. You know what I'm saying? And just like what y'all said in the beginning, it felt like we didn't get enough promotion. And don't get me wrong, we all felt like that a lot of times, man, over the years of fucking this music, doing the, you know what I'm saying, we did the Bring Hell on Earth album. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker come out the gate selling 100-some thousand. There's no way in the world we shouldn't have went gold. We all thought that we, you know what I'm saying, we was black ducks of it. But then that's why we fucked around, took the tour and this and another. But then, you know, once the tour didn't do so good, I don't know, you know, how that, why it did, you know what I'm saying? But that's a whole different ball game. But at the end of the day, once the tour didn't do anything, it was like, shit, that was the end of Baby Ghetto Boys, man. That was it.
We had a situation to where, you know, we couldn't complain to the same man, meaning that, you know, our record company and our management company were the same. So we couldn't go complain about our management company, about our record company not pushing us enough, because we getting love in these streets. We getting love in these streets.
And you know what? And that's just being real, man. What Black's saying right now, you know, we all grown men. We done been down that road, so, you know, we know we got, you know, listeners out there. But if a motherfucker gonna spit it, you gotta spit it real and be truth about this shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's been a lot of heartbreak and a lot of motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying, self-destructing behind this game, man. You know what I'm saying? But today, you know, for the ones that are, you know, hold on, but like I said, are Griffin, Chris, and Ghetto, But a lot of shit that Ghetto went through was behind his fucking rap game, you know, from him, you know, end up being the way he end up being, you know, and getting sick and just totally kind of selfish behind what the gang can do to a motherfucker.
Yeah, it wasn't really nice, especially when you actually find out that, you know, in the beginning you didn't know. You know what I'm saying? No one told you what to do, how to do it, and this is what needs to be done. But now, once you found that out and you too deep in it, what else can you do? You can only do what they tell you to do, because you so far deep in it, you owe them. So we're going to have to keep pushing forward. And at that time, we was too young to endure any type of shit that they were putting on us.
And yeah. See, and this would make so many other artists from H-Town or from anywhere else so successful when they caught that second wave. You know what I'm saying? When the motherfuckers was able to sit back and realize and have their own point of view about how things have made it happen to certain groups. And they say, okay, well, I ain't going to go down that road. So motherfuckers were able to find some success out this game. You understand what I'm saying? But when we was fucking with this game, you know what I'm saying, we was locked into a situation where we didn't know a motherfucking thing about it. We was new to it. It was new to everybody at that time. You understand what I'm saying? But you have to, you know what I'm saying, say for instance, the Keys and the Slim Thugs and all these various talents got Lil Flip, and all these guys that give a lot of respect to and got much love for that came through and took care of their business, because they was able to sit back and look at what the fuck this game was about, man, and, you know, they were able to learn from a lot of mistakes that a motherfucker made along the way, man.
Yeah, you might because you called me Too Much Trouble, the Terrence, and a lot of us teachers, because we learned the game the hard way, and they learned the game from us selling. So that's how they was able to take it and move it to the next level by us selling. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, you guys definitely paved the way, you know.
Yeah.
And there was other people
loaded,
who did not even on rap a lot at that time too, like Born Twice. Criminal
too.
Element. There's a
Me
lot
too,
of cats you can name. Yeah, there's a lot of different cats you can name, you know what I'm saying? But you guys definitely
That's right.
were amongst that fucking era. You know,
exactly, man. That's
like
right.
You said, Nip and Terrorist. Didn't you tell me that all three of those albums dropped on the same day?
Exact same day.
Yeah. Same day. That did slip my mind, but Black was right. That they did drop on the same day. That's right.
And you know why he did that? He did that to see who would do the best so he could put the most behind the person who did the best. And we ended up winning that contest. So that's how we was able to go on tour.
That's right.
Nope. That's what's up.
That's how we was able to go on tour by ourselves, because we the one came out ahead on that one. Behind us was Nip.
Now, you guys went on tour. How many cities did you guys go on?
So was it 30, like 36?
I think it was 36, yeah, some shit like that. You know, between 30 and 35, man, for sure.
And this was all for you guys at that time. Bar none was with
that's
you.
That's right. Yeah, but we had an option. We had an option not to do it. He tried to talk us out of it, but we was young. Let's go see it, man. Let's go.
And then when motherfuckers sitting in front of you, man, you know, and talking about, you know, flying and seeing the country and getting out of this fucking city, something you never seen before, something you just always imagined, man. You know what I'm saying? You jump on shit like that. You know what I'm saying? And then why not? I mean, that's part of this game, right? To tour, to get promoted, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, what motherfucker wouldn't do that? You know what I'm saying? We just didn't know that was going to be the motherfucking nail in the coffin. You know what I'm saying? Just not knowing that was going to bite us in the ass. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't take any of it back, man, because, you know what I'm saying? We was able to experience some things that a lot of motherfuckers only can wish they can experience, man. And we done seen some things that people only can wish they can see. And, you know, we just got to hold on to that. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these artists is doing their thing today. I can only imagine. I mean, it's got to be a humble, grateful, great feeling to just be able to do what the fuck you want to do and to see and to go from one city to the next and enjoy your life and live your life and get out that struggle that motherfucker been trying to get out for so long, man. So I just give, you know, I'm so happy for a lot of these cats that's doing their thing right now, man, and knowing that I've already been there, I know from first-hand experience, Black know from first-hand experience, man, it's a hell of a goddamn feeling.
Oh, man, it's wonderful. It's it's wonderful to come from where you from, where we from, and to go places and people actually know your fucking name. Shit, that scared the hell out of you. You know what I'm saying? So it was so beautiful though.
And Black, and you can tell, man, we just real people. You know what I'm saying? Even now, right now today. You know what I'm saying? We still get overwhelmed by shit like that because that shit only come once in a lifetime for some motherfuckers, man. You understand? So, you know, you got to hold on to something that you can dig great in your life. And then, like I said, being a part of Rap-A-Lot and being a part of that era, man, that's like one of the biggest accomplishments a motherfucker can ever make in his life. The only thing that's dissatisfied was not being able to do the things that you only can dream about doing for your loved ones at the end of the day. That's what counts the most, you understand? But you still was a part of something. You know, was it worth it for me? Yeah, it was. I'm sure it was worth it for Beck as well, but I can let him, you know, speak for that. But for me, it was most definitely worth it because Black can tell you about Drug D. I was like the worst, the knucklehead in the group. I was the motherfucking one that needed help. You know what I'm talking about? As far as my mentality, you know what I'm saying, the way I live my lifestyle, and all that kind of shit, man. So I needed that game back then more than anything in the world, whether I got a bunch of fucking money or not. I just needed to get, you know, rescued at that particular point of time because I'm telling you, I probably wouldn't. If it hadn't been for Rappler, I'd probably be a dead motherfucker today, or I'd be in a penitentiary, one of the two. I mean, it's just that simple.
And I want to commend you for being able to do that because So many have not been able to do that. Too many have been killed. You know, it's a continued genocide to this day. Chicago last year had more murders in the city of Chicago alone than the entire warring country of Afghanistan. That's fucking crazy.
Unreal. It's crazy,
you know,
man. I hate it.
And
man,
that's just one city. You know, you throw in Houston, you throw in New Orleans, you throw in Gary, Flint, Detroit. I mean, you know, you're looking at 30,000 murders a year in the United States.
Right.
All young cats.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
All young cats. See, the thing is, though, we need more teachers. See, and you have these older guys. It's like a crab in the bucket mentality. You know, these older guys love to get off and get their money and watch these young guys just take each other out, not knowing that these young guys looking at them and take them out also. So they killing each other trying to get to where this other guy is. There's no need for that. Everybody can get a piece of that bone. That bone breaks in 10,000 different pieces.
In my opinion, a lot of artists, you know, especially in this rap game, man, got so much big influence over this generation to it's unreal. And I'm not trying to tell motherfuckers to flip the script and, you know, and turn to some kind of saint or this and that, but it's so much more that we can do, you understand, to help a lot of these youngsters, and then you can be real at the same time, you understand, and I know a lot of these guys do a lot of things too, so, you know, that's not knocking anybody, but it's so much more that can be done, like you said, you know, all the deaths in Chicago, all this motherfucker got to start rallying together and try to help the youth, the same people that's supporting their music, man, you got to try to be able to do something to reach out to these young cats, you know what I'm saying, let them know, even though what we're talking about is, you know what I'm saying, we're talking about this, that, and other, but we still living our life, and we want to live a good life and want to be here. We ain't just saying, fuck it. You know, because if that was the case, the motherfucker wouldn't be able to spit them records that they spit if they just said, fuck it. So it's about getting paid, but at the same time, you want to also acknowledge the youth and acknowledge whoever else out there listening that you have influence on, man.
Yeah, what's more real than being alive? Ain't nothing more real than that.
And most of the young guys, they just get easily influenced by a whole lot of materialistic bullshit that don't mean nothing anyway. You know what I mean? And a lot of times they're not
caught up in the moment.
They're not even going to tame what they're watching and listening to.
Yeah,
realistically.
You can watch and listen to any goddamn thing you want to. It's just how you perceive it. It's not fucking real. It's not too many Jay-Z's out there. It's not too many Puff Daddies out there. You know what I'm saying? It's not too many. I mean, ain't too many motherfucking killers and drug dealers on wax. You know what I'm saying? Why would you get on there and say all that and you a killer or a drug dealer, you on wax? Then why are you on wax? Why is you on tape admitting these crimes? Ain't too many. So people got to realize all this shit is entertainment. All this shit is entertainment.
You can take what you want from it. You know,
yeah,
but what
once
I took
these young
from
guys
it,
realize
I took,
that it's not only entertainment, it's a way to get out of where they are and the environment that they are. As a matter of fact, how about picking up a book? Don't even fucking rap. If you can't fucking read, you should not rap. We should have a coalition to where if your ass can't read, ain't put past the 10th grade, you should not put out a motherfucking album. That's what I'm talking about.
You ain't lying,
because
I got
kids. You know what I'm saying? I got kids that need to be raised. I got neighbors that need to be raised. You know, when we was growing up, our neighborhood would whoop our ass. You run down the block, fuck up, your neighbor was allowed to whoop your ass, take you home, and your mama or your dad would whoop your ass. It's not going down like that no more. The kids are running the house.
Yeah, they got this new game called the knockout game. They just run up on anybody and hit them in the face, try to knock them out. You know, it's fucking crazy.
What if somebody ran up on you, D, and tried to knock you out? What would you do to them? I know you like a motherfucking me, but back when you were trying to hit D back in the day, that D would have probably pushed you through a brick wall.
But see, that just goes to show you, you know what I'm saying, by bringing that up, man. And it's so fucked up, but, you know, I got to keep it 100, you know what I'm saying? I got to be real and I got to speak the truth. The same shit that they're doing now, which is so fucking ridiculous, man, the same thing that we was doing in Fifth Ward when I was growing up. I did some of those stupid-ass things, man. And I had, you know, and while my wife sit on the couch last night, and my kids, you know what I'm saying, they listen to this shit. I just had to confess and be real and say, yeah, I did that shit too. I did that. My wife didn't even know, man. But that's just about maturity and motherfucker just, you know, confessing itself because you want to be better and you want to do better and you want to let the ones around you, man, and even the ones that listen right now, that ain't what's happening. You know what I'm saying? You going around and you knocking motherfuckers out, you know what I'm saying? That can be anybody, somebody, man. Motherfucker, you hit somebody. It can be, what if it's somebody sick, man? Motherfucker got goddamn cancer. Motherfucker on the bridge of dying. The motherfucker just, you know, don't have anything to look forward to. Damn, they're homeless. I mean, you just fucking over people like that. And then, you know what I'm saying, but what if a motherfucker did that to your daddy, fucking around and snatch something and then push your mama to the ground? Motherfucker got to think about those kind of things, man. The old generation's so fucked up to where, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of like it's we lost right now. And this shit coming back full circle from what we used to do back then, you know what I'm saying? We was young. And it's kind of sad, man. You know, it's fucked up.
It is. Yeah. It is. But let's take this caller, 832. What's up, Texas? Who is it? You're live on the air. Too much trouble.
Oh, this is DRC Gilliard, man. I'm from Houston.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, homie?
Oh, yeah, man. I was just, I went to school with all four of y'all, man. I was just calling to show my respect.
Oh, man.
And Dwayne Tracy, Lil Johnny.
Buster?
Yeah, this Buster, man. What's up?
What's up, Buster?
Oh, man, what's up? You know,
I had to call, man.
I saw y'all on Facebook, man. Y'all came in at the right time, man. Knew him rap a lot. And I appreciate all the input y'all put into the industry, man. Y'all really highlighted rap the way it was supposed to be, even when it wasn't.
Man, appreciate you, bro. I mean, appreciate you.
That's all what it's about, man, being an individual, man, you know, because so much of the music right now sound the same. There's no individuality right now, so, you know. I mean, y'all definitely a legend in y'all own right.
Appreciate that, man.
I'm gonna get off the phone and let y'all enjoy yourself, man.
Hey, thank you for calling.
We wouldn't be where we are without you, man. You know, y'all helped us out a lot, man.
Yeah, and if Tracy listening, man, I still got the cassette tape, man. I'm going to get y'all to autograph it for me, man.
Tracy, what's up, man? You know we family. You know what it is.
I understand. But, man, y'all go ahead and enjoy yourself, man, and so I keep on listening.
That's what it is, man. Thank you for calling.
All right, man.
See, a lot of cats, man, they got respect for you guys. And I had all three of your albums. you know, the first one, Bring Hell on Earth, Player's Choice, and then Too Much Weight. All classics. What happened after 97? Well, first let's go back even before that. What happened after the first album, Bring Hell on Earth? What changed up the group? Why did you leave, Black?
To be very, 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 very honest with you, I was the oldest in the group, so I felt I should have a little bit more say-so. But, you know, we was young. Like you say, all of us was hot-headed. And combine that with not having nothing. So, Chip was flared, and it wasn't nothing to where when I saw D and I saw Ghetto, that anything would happen. We still hung out. We just didn't record anymore. That's how that happened. I mean, I still let them catch. And I'm a grown ass man. When we finally said this is, I'm not gonna do this no more. Man, I fucking cried, man. These were my brothers.
He
said we wasn't gonna do it no more. Now we're gonna go this way. You go that way. I fucking cried because we went through the trenches together, man. I mean, from literally trenches.
That's right.
When we decided not to do this anymore, I cried, man. I mean, I don't give a fuck who knows what I did tonight, man. I fucking cried. But
that's real shit.
Keeping it real 100, D&M kept their word, and they still use some of my tracks on His Choice. They kept their word.
Right.
Nah, I gotta give them big up on that one. They kept their word by using some of my tracks, and got me some money on his second album. They left out for me on that part.
That's right, man.
Yeah, that's it. And I'll tell you what. Here we are, 2013. You know what I'm saying? 20 some odd years later, and to have you guys on the phone is amazing, man. What happened with Bar None, though? Why did he leave? Pretty much the same reason you left the group, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Bar None was, I can't really tell you exactly, but I think it was more of a burnout because it was constantly going, and Bar None wasn't really a rapper. D and Ghetto actually shaped Bar None to be the rapper that he was.
Yeah.
They wrote all that.
Oh,
they
okay.
Out to be the rapper that he was. You know what I mean? Because remember he told you back in the gap that all they needed him was to be on the beer cases and all that. Well, Bar None knew how to rap, but he didn't know how to, flow.
Right.
D and Ghetto, they worked religiously with Bar None to teach him how to flow. Up all night, and they got him to where he was. And you overload a pickle jar, that shit gonna flow over. So I think it was more of a burnout with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, man.
Well, the second album, Player's Choice, that album was just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. That's my favorite one right there.
Like
a fat booty girl. Gorgeous.
Jack Mission with Seagram. Rest in peace to Seagram as well. He was another.
Yeah, Seagram, man.
Artist.
Go ahead.
You know, a phenomenal artist. But Player's Choice, what was the atmosphere like when you was recording that album?
Man, when we recorded Player's Choice, man, first in, like Black was saying, we had separated, Baby Ghetto Boys no longer, so we really, going in, we was kind of contemplating about doing it. We didn't know we was going to still be a rapper lot or not, this and that and other. But, man, Ghetto, we talked. We say, well, okay, with the Baby Ghetto Boys, maybe that's a done deal. And Boz being an artist, they brought this thing to pass, and they kind of started this music thing. Let's give it another shot. And so that's what we did. We decided to go ahead and do Player's Choice. But in that era, to answer your question, I was on some pimp shit, man. You know, me personally, even Ghetto, you know what I'm saying? You know, I had, you know, I was doing those things, man. You know, I was out there, you know, like I said, I was younger then, I was wild, you know, and that's what I believed in back then in that game. I believed in breaking a bitch. It's just that simple. You know, that's what it was all about with me, man. So at that time, working on that album, it's not no fluke. You know, you can even ask Black. I was pimping hoes. You know, I was getting money from broads, you know what I'm saying, shit that, you know what I'm saying, I stay away from now because, like I said, I'm married. You know, I have a daughter. But whatever motherfucker do is they business, you know what I'm saying. I don't knock hustles at all. But at the end of the day, that's not what I fuck with right now. But I'm going to tell you, that's what I was doing. So that was the atmosphere. But that album, that's why we named it Nasty Gangsta Pimps, man. We was in there in a bed naked and, you know, getting money, right, taking traps.
I can tell y'all was on there too with that song Break Yourself, Bitch. That's one of my favorite ones.
You know, and that's that, and you know, and not to take anything for Ghetto, but that's, you know, and that idea, you know, that idea basically came from me because that's what I would always tell, you know, individuals that I was dealing with at the time. You know, I tell them to break that stuff. I got it on my arm, tattooed and everything around that time. And I've been having this tattoo since then, man. You know, break yourself, bitch, man. And that's, you know, so that's where it came from.
Yeah, that's a classic right there, though.
That was a phenomenal. I mean, I hated not to be a part of that album. I hated not to because they lyrical game had got stepped up. From the first album, they had calmed down. The lyrics and the flow was on point. You know, the music had became 10 times better because it was all an experiment in the beginning of the first album. The second album, it was in my opinion, this is Black opinion only, Player's Choice is better than Breaking Hell on Earth. That's my opinion.
I have to agree. I really.
Yeah,
Player's
Choice, my favorite one too.
Jack Mission is
even though
still
I like
one of my
all
favorite
of them.
Songs. I mean, I play it religiously on this show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was only destined we had you guys on here. I played that song about 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
What were the 3 tracks that you did produce, Black?
I think I did the Ghetto solo song on there. It was a couple of others. I don't remember the names of them.
Yeah, it's been so fucking long. I can't grab the names either, man. But
yeah,
he did do three of those joints on there, man.
Yeah.
I thought it was 4 shit.
I know it was 3, but I can't remember the because I got stuck on. I ain't gonna lie to you that song D said, "Bitch, what you got for that?" That was my shit.
Hell yeah.
That was my shit.
Yeah. I'm still listening to them songs, man, from time to time.
When a nigga said that, and they let me hear that, because, you know, at that time, we could go to Rapper and get any CD that we wanted. Man, I had all collection of all Rapper CDs. Because we were
right.
still signed to Rapper. I had to fight to get off of Rapper. So I still had access to Rapper. So when that album came out, I still could go up there and hang out with them guys. So when I went up there and got that thing, I didn't let them get. I'm trying to be hard on the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Man, this motherfucker is jamming, but I ain't let them know that. You know what I'm saying? I'm hard.
I remember you. I remember seeing your reaction too. I can remember that day like it was yesterday.
You know what I'm saying? I'm hard on the bitch. Nigga trying to hold his chest. You know what I mean? So nigga dropped that shit, dog. I went outside. I damn near threw that CD across the scene. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker was hard. I'm not just saying that because he's just my brother, but just, hey, man, I call it what it is, you know what I'm saying?
Appreciate you, Black.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know what's crazy is like your homie that was just on said he got a tape and get y'all to autograph and shit. If y'all ain't aware, man, there's people all over the world that pay crazy amounts of money to get those original tapes. And shit
right.
Like that, man. Because y'all know more than just, you know, in the States. It's cats all over the world that live and die for the old school and the underground, man. So I feel real blessed to be talking to y'all because, I listen to y'all all the time.
It's real.
Especially
when I get
them albums out.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and you know, from this point on, man, you know what I'm saying, you know, most definitely going to keep in touch. I'm working on some new things right now, man. I'm going to have Black to be a part of this thing, but I'm finna drop a Too Much Trouble mixtape. Man, Ghetto recorded like 13, 14 songs before he died. Nobody never heard of him, man. We was working on a new album right before he passed, man, and shit like that. So, you know, it's been kind of, you know, it's been a downer for me, man. But, you know, I done pulled through that thing, you know, as far as, you know, not having him around. But I'm going to go ahead and, you know, get ready to get this shit finished and get ready to drop this Too Much Trouble mixtape, man, so his legacy can live on through that, you know.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to preview some of that stuff here on the show if you don't care, man. That'd be a huge honor. You know what I'm saying?
Without a doubt. Definitely.
When did Ghetto pass?
Well, it's been about, 6 months to date, huh, Black? About six months.
And you guys were working on a project. Now, the last project that you guys put out was in 97. Too Much Weight? Yeah, classic album. My favorite track in there has got to be, Take Me to War with Fifth Ward Boys. That was just incredible.
That was a bad motherfucker there. That's right. That was one of the hottest tracks on joints on that album, man.
Yeah. That shit was just crazy. What prevented you guys from doing another album after that?
Well, after that, man, we was with Rap A Lot, and then we got with Triple Beam Records, man, which I'm an uncle of mine formed, you know, independent label. One of his close friends, man. And he got some fair time. He got like 20 years fair time. And me and Ghetto, you know, we were supposed to pick up our first royalty check, man, after the album dropped. And right before we were supposed to pick up that check, he had called a mean case, man, and we didn't get our money, man. And I think that was the last straw, man. We couldn't take it no more. We was just done, man. And you know, after that point on, man, we just kind of we always stayed in touch, but we were so heartbroken behind this game, man. And you know, and all the dreams and expectations we had, especially with that Triple Beam album, Too Much Weight album on Triple Beam Records, to where we just felt like, you know, that was just it, man. You know, and you know, anything can break a motherfucker. You know, you keep doing the same shit over and over, man. You're not getting any results, man. You end up saying fuck it, man. And maybe it's time to do something different. So me and Ghetto, you know, we went out separate ways at that point, man. That's that's what happened. You know, just not getting paid for that album, not getting one dime, man, off that album.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I can understand where he's coming from on that one. I come because you look, D and Ghetto put out three or four albums. And you go from the first one not getting nothing. And then on the third one, not getting nothing. Man, you only had a half of a heart to go past the second one anyway. You know what I'm saying? So that would kill my spirit for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it hurt, you know, and it took Ghetto, you know, me, myself, you know, I always had a, you know, type of attitude. You know, I always made things happen, you know what I'm saying, with or without the rap game. You know, even though it was a heartbreaker, but it took Ghetto by storm, you know, even more so. You know what I'm saying? It just really, you know, I mean, it fucked him up. You know, it fucked him up. You know what I'm saying? Then he had, you know, marital problems, you know, things he's going through with his wife at the time, you know, on top of that shit, man. You know what I'm saying? His wife leaving him. And, you know, it just was too much. You know what I'm saying? I think it was just too much on him, man. And no matter what, you know, I try to tell him, no matter how much I talk to him, I just couldn't get through to him, man. He just couldn't shake it, man, you know. And that's what this game do to a lot of motherfuckers, man. You know, when you have all your whole life rapping to this shit. I mean, you know, we never had no fucking educations, man. You know, we didn't go to, we dropped out of school, man. You know, so we was drug dealers. We were street niggas, man. You know, we ain't never had a fucking education where we can, you know, make things, even though I'm successful now in what I'm doing, but at the end of the day, look how many years it took to get to that point. You understand what I'm saying? So all we knew was drugs and rapping. That's it. I mean, that's it. Or pimping hoes. I mean, that's always our life. You know, for I'm talking about forever. So once a motherfucker, you know, when a motherfucker run out of what to do next, and you got your whole life rapping to this music shit, man, some motherfuckers take it so hard to where they can't rebound from that shit. And that's what happened to Ghetto, man.
And then on top of that, my man had diabetes strong.
Yeah,
yeah,
man.
He had, I mean, a lot of guys, a lot of people didn't know Ghetto was sick, man. Ghetto was sick for a long time. But he was always a thin cat, so nobody never knew that he was sick. So, because he didn't tell everybody he was sick. That was nobody's business to him, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, and you know what, man? And it's so good that, you know, talking to you guys and doing these interviews, because I did, you know, a few other interviews as well. But, you know, doing this interview, man, and listening to you guys and how you, you know, how much y'all, you know, respect the rap, get rap out too much trouble, how much y'all bigger fans of ours, man. It's even extra special to us and to me, you know what I'm saying, because it's been, you know, the road been so long, man, and we've been on a hush-hush for so long, you know, throughout the years, you know, it's to a point to where even though we was wilding out or, you know, motherfucker, you know, like you say, drunk, you might be crazy, throw it out, but it's just certain things that we just kept inside and bottled up because we was part of something, man, to where at the end of the day, to where we just didn't want to go down that route, so to speak. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so,
right.
You know, but by a motherfucker being, you know, older and got kids, man, don't none of this shit matter no more. We're not here to bash nobody or talk down. But, you know what I'm saying, if a motherfucker don't just release how they really feel, then you'd be holding shit forever, man. And people deserve to know the truth. I mean, it's already obvious. So, you know,
right.
How a motherfucker going to sit back and not be real with the fans and not be real with y'all when you already know what the business
yeah.
is. I mean, motherfuckers consume anything, but it's not hard to tell from the outside looking in when a motherfucker done struggled so long. Motherfucker know a nigga wouldn't eat, man. You know, not on that level, not on that rap shit. Motherfucker had to find his motherfucking way to eat. You know what I'm saying? That's just being real. And me personally, it don't matter to me what a motherfucker, who listening or how a motherfucker feel. That's just the truth, man. And that shit done scarred a lot of motherfuckers. It done destroyed families. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers got to find out a way even now, but you can't hold on to the past. But had things been right, people around you be straight. Motherfuckers still got to figure out a way right now today, you understand? So you can't help but to think about a lot of this shit and all those great albums that you speak of and, you know, platinum, I mean, not platinum album, but classics that you speak of. And then for you to say, man, y'all got a class album, you know what I'm saying? That's a refreshing feeling, but at the same time, it's like, God damn, boy, that's bad. That's fucked up. You know what I'm saying? When you realize, when you look at the big picture.
Yeah, because it'd have been a whole bunch of what shoulda, woulda, coulda. What would have happened if we would have known to do this? What would have happened if we have known to do that? What would have happened if this guy would have told us, hey, look, this is what's supposed to go on. This is what you're supposed to do. This is how you carry yourself when you are on. This is business. You know what I'm saying? Not because you're behind the microphone, because this is fucking business. No one prepared us to succeed.
You know, especially now when you're raising yourself, man, you know what I'm saying? And you're leaning on older guys that know more about this shit. When you blind to this shit and you're looking at them as a father figure, so to speak, or like an uncle, so to speak. So you're taking, you know, I mean, you're just rolling with the flow, man. You're just hoping for the best, even though you know that the best ain't never coming. It ain't never coming, man. You know, you might know, you might hope it, you want to tell your mama, you might even tell a lie just to make a motherfucker around you happy, or just to make yourself feel like you know what I'm saying, doing somewhat of good because you're a part of something that's supposed to be so special.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, the only thing that was special was our friendship and our brotherhood, man, me and Ghetto and Black and Boy. That was the only thing that was special about this shit. You know what I'm saying? Nothing else wasn't even special because it was all fabricated, it was all made up. It was all make-believe type shit. You know what I'm saying? Because even though it was talent, that just goes to show you how many talented motherfuckers come from out the hood, man.
Yeah. If y'all, you know what I'm saying, if we spitting that venom like that and people liking us, calling in and saying, you know, they respecting the game and how talented we was and they get all I am, man, just imagine how many more motherfuckers is in the hood. That just go to show you, man, we very talented. It's very talented. There's so much talent out the hood, but a lot of motherfuckers just don't get that fair shake. And you can't dwell on. You got to man up, you know what I'm saying? That's why I tell a lot of kids right now, in spite of whatever happened in your past, you can't hold on to it. You got to be able to keep moving forward because motherfuckers intend to break you, man. That's what motherfuckers want to do. They want to break a motherfucker where a nigga be crippled and have to keep leaning and leaning, you know what I'm saying? You can't get no help to where you helpless. Motherfucker got to man up and suck it up and just say, okay, I was part of something. And this is a new chapter in my life. And that's where I'm at today, man.
Me too.
Yeah, I always say your past is just that. It's the past. You know what I'm saying? Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. Well, you know what I'm saying?
We look forward to playing.
But then, you know, we are older than what we used to be, so we can actually say that the past is the past. But when you're 21, 20, 21, that shit don't mean nothing. And that will hurt me so much to where that we actually, because that's all, like D said, all we had was us four. It was us four against everybody. But when we let that, this industry or what happened to us as a artist or as a group break us up, that would hurt the most.
Hey, I'm going to take a break.
And, that's what influencers do.
Yeah.
Influences and you get around all this type of fame and, you know, money and wealth. And sometimes that tend to take advantage of motherfuckers that, you know, just don't know no better. You let it come between shit that was way more important. But if you don't see it, you don't see it, man. You know what I'm saying? That just, you know, it's just that simple.
Because I didn't see it. We went all the way around on this tour, and it's only, in every city we went to, it was one thing. One thing that everybody and their mama, from Tupac to everybody, that E-40, everybody, what they always told us is, don't break up.
That's one of the things that I mean, it was a lot of things, but that's one of the main things that was always.
Get back home,
right.
Don't break up because it's gonna
that's
be right. rough. It's gonna be rough. Before it get better, it's gonna be rough.
And we're on y'all station, man, and you got the listeners out there and everything. But if this would, you know, this is what you call putting it all on the line, because this is the way it's supposed to be. Motherfuckers, you know, they should know, especially people that's fans of Too Much Trouble. You know, people want to know what happened to Baby Ghetto Boys, Too Much Trouble. You got a right to know. You know what I'm saying? My fans have a right to know. Our fans have a right to know the truth. You know, not that we got to say, you know, go down the line on every detail about every situation. You know what I'm saying? It's too much time. We don't even have enough time for all that. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, just to be appreciated, you know what I'm saying, at least that much, you know what I'm saying, we can hold on to. And that's a special thing, man.
Right. Even if they ain't fans, but they fans of hip hop, they got to hear y'all's story because y'all is part of the history of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? So
appreciate you.
I'm glad y'all can come on the Murder Master Music Show, and because this the show for that.
That's just like a
championship. You can't take that from us. I don't care what nobody say. You can't erase Too Much Trouble out of history no more. You can't do it. We there. It's like a championship. It's there. We are there.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And you're right there on the gold or platinum album, Till Death Do Us Part, Bring It On. Let's take a break. We're going to be back, take some callers right here at Murder Master Music Show. Call in 714-409-0548. Or you can always live stream the show at ugsforlife.com. We'll be right back with Too Much Trouble.
UGS for Life. Too much trouble, they sold us the track. Bitches not paying like they win, I get smacked by some young niggas that's down to break a bitch. The nickel nut and the band-aid bandit. It's a nickel nut, pimpin' 10 different sluts. You can call it slavery, bitch, I don't give a fuck. They better tell some tricks and suck a lot of dicks and come with my money or they get their ass kicked. Ghetto got hoes on the store making my bank roll. Fuck with Jingle, bitch, I roll with foes. Cause it's all about the pen, I ain't talking about the pussy. I'm talking about the paper, so bitch, check your money. It's a pimp, pimp, pimpin'. You simp, simp, sippin'. Your bitch chose me, now you whip, whip, whippin'. Nigga, you was wrong when you reached for your chrome. A slug to your dome, bad news gon' beat you home. You think we was thinking about making, but you're wrong. We end up here sippin' in Missouri, and bitches bring it on.
Bring it on, bring it on, yeah. Bring it on, bring it on, yeah. Bring it on.
Thank you. another 440, bitch, I constantly slap. Now what you got for me?
Your $2,000 trap.
And what's that bullshit you got hanging from your neck?
So will I be fun, daddy, just a Rolex. Now tell me, daddy, please, tell me, daddy, do I please you?
Hell no, hope you got a lot of work to do.
What does it take to please your daddy, cause I'm willing?
Bitch, you can't please me till you make me a million. Then I might think about letting you rest your back. Until then, get your ass on the track. And go get my money, bitch, I took you in. And pimp your wife in law to teach your ass how to win. I gotta get paid and get my money on deliver. Whoever tricking with your baby, break that nigga. Chinese, white, even got Philippines. Fuck them colors, cause the color is green. You can't be picky when you catch you a tricky. Break yourself, either that or get a hickey. If it's any questions, baby, be free to speak. If it ain't shit, quick, bitch, hit the streets. Go get my money, show daddy that you're blessed. Want $2,000, even more, nothing less. You gotta stay woke and keep these hoes turned out. It's some money being made you don't even know about. I'll make them go get it, but not in my face. Cause that's disrespecting my pimpin' in the first place. One false move and that ass will get beat. She can't turn a trick within 100 feet. Up the nickel nut, pimpin' the hoes in the nine tray. Breaking and breaking 10 different bitches every day. I won't have the shit no other way. Pimpin' them hoes, man, and shit is okay. I take them to the crib, they wanna stay and shit. I tell them just like this, you gotta break yourself, bitch.
Break yourself, bitch, break yourself, bitch. Break yourself, bitch, make a pimp rich. Break yourself, bitch, break yourself, bitch. Break yourself, bitch, make a pimp rich. Break yourself, bitch.
Make this pimp rich. Cause I ain't fucking with you hoes, that's counterfeit. I need more money, more money, more money.
Ain't no money coming quicker than that whole money.
Yeah, when I was young I used to be a fucking trick. Till my Uncle Candy taught me how to down a bitch. To qualify for me to be a motherfucking man. Bitch, you can't be checking nothing less than a grand. Breaking a bitch is real easy to do. Especially if a bitch walks up and chews you. I want it by choice, bitch, not by force. I need my money every day as my main source. I put my bitches down at a 8:45. They came back with my bankroll at the same time. I'm standing east to the moon, west to the sun. With this bitch I just down, I'm a Mac up on a million. If you wanna be my hoe, you gotta mind. And keep my money flowing like a river, that's the bottom line. Like a preacher getting paid off communion. Long distance bitches keep me paid to Western Union. My hoes know I don't like no motherfucking static. I want my money rolling like a car, an automatic. And when my life as a pimp is all done, I'ma pass the business down to my motherfucking son. Oh bitch, you forgot who's the motherfucking king. You better check yourself, hoe, and repeat my fucking thing.
I've been promising ever since to leave a curse all my fight. But make sure Big Daddy get her money stay right.
Yeah, bitch, that's what I mean. Now get out there and give me my green.
Break yourself, bitch, break yourself, bitch. Break yourself, bitch, make a pimp rich.
Yeah, that shit's going back to 1993, 20 fucking years ago. We got Too Much Trouble, bringing it back on. Black, Drunk D. Man, that's some classic stuff right there. I'm gonna bring on. I'm gonna bring on my brother Skinny Man. I know he wanted to ask you some questions from Minnesota. You there, Skinny?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here, man. Hey, what up, Skinny?
Hey, what's going on, homie?
Hey, what's going on? Too Much Trouble. What's going on, man?
I'm
glad we finally got you on the show, man.
Without a doubt, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah. Me and Prez was talking about this last year. We were saying, man, we got to get Too Much Trouble up out here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we was, you know what I'm saying? We was talking about this for a while. And, you know, you're one of the guys. Of course, we still need to get the Fifth World Boys. But we're doing this big Rap-A-Lot roundtable next Thursday.
Man,
what are you guys' thoughts on that? Is there any guys that you haven't spoken to in many years that you look forward to speak to that night? Or?
As for me, I keep in touch with all of them. Let's see. The only one, I mean, who have you talked to that I haven't talked to?
I'd like to talk to Dopey, man, and Gangsta Nip, man. I'd like to talk to those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we just had Dopey on the show last Sunday, and Nip's been on.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to them.
Yeah, that was dope. Yeah, that was raw right there.
I talked to all them guys on the pretty much on the regular, you know, Red, all of them.
Yeah. Guys,
I try to keep up with my pal.
What's up?
What's this? Now you said you recorded some songs with Ghetto. You said it's going to be a mixtape. Are you giving it away or are you putting it on iTunes? What are you doing with it?
Yeah, I'm going to put it out, man, you know, iTunes and all that, man. So, you know, we've been working on this album, man, this mixtape for quite a while, man. Before we was working, it was probably been about 8 months before he even passed, we was working on this mixtape, man. And, you know, we have so much other things going on in our personal lives, too, where it was kind of on a standstill. We put it on hold for a minute, but then we was going to get right back in there and start back on it. But then, you know, he had took real, real sick, man, so he couldn't really get to that studio and record, you know. But we had already recorded like 13 songs up until then, you know. So that's basically where we're at with it right now, man. And I had, you know, I was, you know, contemplating about, you know, what kind of moves I wanted to make with this mixtape. But, you know, I thought about, you know, should I go ahead and do it or should I not do it or, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, since Ghetto. I had a lot of mixed emotions, mixed feelings about it, man. But, you know, I think, you know, we didn't put in work, you know. I don't want to let it go in vain, man. So I'm going to go ahead and release this thing, man. It's got some more work to do, and we're going to go ahead and drop it. Yeah.
You got a title for it?
Yeah, it's called My Brother's Keeper, man.
Yeah, definitely. And this
I'm looking forward to it.
Coming out real soon. Man, please, we'll stay in touch. Please give me some of the songs, and we'll play them right here.
Most definitely, man. I'll be, like I said, I got some mix and mastering to do probably the next week or so, man. I'm gonna shoot you something down there, email you some songs, man, and let you get some of them singles rolling, man.
That's what it
is.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to our fifth member, man. My boy Lowdown, man. He was the fifth member of Too Much Trouble. So I like give him a shout out to that cat right there, man.
What's going on, Lowdown? I haven't seen Lowdown in years, man. Big old dude. Y'all probably don't know Lowdown if y'all can remember, man. But he used to be with us back in the gap. Got through talking about Lowdown, man.
That's our fifth member right there.
That's another brother of ours, man. And hope it's all well with Lowdown. I hadn't talked to him in years, man. Been over 10 years since I last spoke with Lowdown. It probably been longer than that.
Now, I know 007. Yeah. Isn't 007 like a preacher now? Or?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think Lowdown is, too, from what I hear. But, yeah, 007, I think he is doing a little preaching or something like that. You know, I hadn't talked to him, but I kind of stay in touch with E-Rock. And I see, you know, low life every now and then. But, you know, I hadn't talked to 007.
Yeah, I need to get in touch with E-Rock. You can make that happen. I appreciate it because
without a doubt, man, I'll make that happen.
E-Rock, I mean, Low Life, his name is not Low Life anymore. His name is New Life.
New Life. That's right. He did change his name to New Life.
Yeah, they all do. He going true fact for you right here. The first time you heard Low Life was on our album on what's the name of that song, D? Take the Pussy. That was Low Life.
He was on that one?
Oh, that was him, yeah.
That was him.
The size of Bolivia. Yeah.
That was Low Life.
Yeah.
That was the first. As a matter of fact, Ghetto MC talked him into rapping on that. And that was the beginning of his career.
Yeah, because, you know, he wasn't, Low Life, as y'all know, we call himself New Life now, but he wasn't even considering rapping, man. You know, we just liked his voice. He had a deep, he had that raspy, that kind of deep voice. And we wanted to just kind of feature him on something, man. And once he spit that verse, man, and got together, shit, he took on race, so he went on and pursue it all the way, man. So that's when he started really getting into the rap game.
Yeah. Well, like I said, did that song, Take Me to War, that was just incredible. I thought that was the hardest song. If not one, it had to be in the top 5 of the hardest songs to ever come out of Rap-A-Lot Records.
Man, you say they still play that song in clubs down there right now as we speak, man. And that's a classic down there, man. Especially by Fifth Ward, you know, and a lot of other Acres Home and different areas. That's a pretty hot song, you know. Back then, the song. So it's like it's classic.
Yeah.
And I want to give another shout out to my other brother, man. May he rest in peace. My boy Big Mello, man. That was our big brother, man.
Yeah.
Man, man, we love that cat, man. That was one of the funniest cats. Man, that dude should have been a comedian, man. But that was our big brother, man. And I sure miss him. I miss him crazy, man.
Him, Seagram. I mean, there's so many people. OG Style.
Big Boss.
You know, you guys. I mean, you come out of a legendary roster of talent. You know, not just for Houston, not just for the South, but for rap period. You know, and it's. I'm glad you guys agreed to come on and do the show. It means a lot, for real. You know, salute to both y'all.
Means a lot to us.
We appreciate you having us on, Perez.
Oh, yeah, anytime, man. We do roundtables, too, like we're getting ready to do with that Rap-A-Lot show. Like, we'll put people, like, we did a show with Servon, JT Money, DJ Ready Red, Marvelous, Spice One.
Yeah.
Everybody just all talk. You know, we did one with Gangsta Nip, Gangsta Pat, and JT Money. You know, three of them dudes, you know, Memphis, Houston, and Miami. I mean, the three biggest, you know, focal points of the South. You know what I'm saying? Just chopping it up.
Wow.
And chopping it up. That's what we're all about here. It's, you know what I'm saying, just the preservation of this shit. This is where legends are not forgotten. And you guys definitely are legends. Let's take another caller. It's your neck of the woods, 281. Right. What's up, 281?
Yo, I'm on.
Yeah, you're on right now. How you doing?
Oh, yo. What's up, Too Much Trouble?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
Yo, Black, this is Roderick. I'm on your Facebook.
Who?
Roderick. Red friend. Red homie.
Oh, hey. What in the ham sandwich is going on, man?
Yo, what up? What up, Drunk D?
Hey, what's up, homeboy? What you up to?
What's up? Just chilling. R.I.P. Ghetto MC.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, man.
Man, I have one question. What became a Bar None?
Good question.
Well, Bar None is he became just who he is. He Bar None and doing his own little thing, man. He ain't rap no more or anything like that. He just became who he was, Lil Johnny, you know, country boy.
Yeah, he's
living out in the country, man.
Already. what was the biggest memory about Rap-A-Lot that you guys, like, because I know a lot of artists from Rap-A-Lot, they said they had some negative things to say about Rap-A-Lot, you know?
Yeah.
So, I wonder, did any of you experience any of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's pretty much what we kind of been hitting on, you know, throughout this whole segment, man, or this talk show. And, you know, like I said, we experienced some negative things, and we also experienced a lot of great things, too. But my biggest moment when I was with Rap-A-Lot was when we performed with Tupac, man. And, you know, before he passed, you know, that was one of my biggest, that was one of the highlights of my moment as an artist, because I'm a true Tupac fan. And just to be on that stage and perform with Tupac, man, it was absolutely unbelievable, man.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. That's one of them. And the other one was when we was on tour and we did a big rap extravaganza in Cleveland. I mean, we had Dougie Fresh, we had Chubb Rock, the Real Roxanne, the Ghetto Boys. We had, it was like, I mean, like 15 other artists. And we going there, and guess what? We was almost top billing. They opened up for us. Now that was a crazy feeling there, man.
Yeah, that was unreal.
Yeah, that's tight, man.
Damn, some great moments, man.
Well, here you guys are, you know what I'm saying, all these years later, You know what I'm saying? When you look back at the fond memories, you know, say what are some of your most fond memories of that era?
Oh man, it's too many. To be actually linked up with a legend in its own legends in their own right. We are talking about the Ghetto Boys. Legends in their own right, to be linked up with them and to be permanently associated with them in their own right is unbelievable. It's unexplainable.
You know, a lot of people don't know this about me, but you know, Scarface. I mean, I might have told a few people, but you know, I mean, that's my favorite artist, man. You know, we was label mates, and he might not even know that to the day, but. Face, man. You know that. You know, I just I always admired the cat, man. You know, and from the things that he overcame too. You know what I'm saying? And from where he come from, his background, and what he had to deal with. You know, in his life, man, to be where he's at today. And you know, it's just he's just a well-round. You know, I think he's an amazing talent. And if you get to know him, I think he's a great guy, man. You know, Face, man. You know, Face Willie D. You know, out of Fifth Ward, the bottom of Fifth Ward. You know, used to be like I was, you know, rough, come up hard, and whatever. But, you know, very intelligent cast, man. So, you know, Black, I think Black said, you know, said a mouthful when he said the Ghetto Boys, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's for a lot of people,
DJ
too,
Ready
man.
Red, too.
Yeah, DJ Ready
shout
Red. That's the home
enforcer.
Without a doubt.
Hey, you can't say nothing bad about Red. Red, I am Red. You dig what I'm saying? The reason why I started doing beats and moved away from battle scratching is because of Ready Red.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And Red Cole with it still to this day. He's still cold.
The first guy to put Tony Montana on the track, the first guy to just do so much stuff, you know what I'm saying? It was an honor to have him on the show. He co-hosted my 100th episode with me, so... Shout out,
you know, and it's funny that you say that because man, you got to realize, man, and what Black's saying, when we see, you know, we see these guys, just by you mentioning Ready Red's name, man, we get, you know, it's like you get excited because we're really true fans, even though we was a part of Rap-A-Lot, we always looked up to the Ghetto Boys, man. I mean, they was it, you know, everybody wanted to be a Ghetto Boy. You know, regardless, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just what it was. We always wanted to get to the level that they were or whatever the case may be, man. And, you know, that didn't happen. But at the end of the day, just being label mates and being a part of that with them in that era, man, it was just unbelievable. So when you mentioned Ready Red and we mentioned Scarface and Willie D, Bushwick Bill, man, artists in the industry, man, have so much love and respect for these guys, man. Just to be part of them, labor mess with them, that's one of the highlights in of our lives, man. And it's overwhelming, man.
Yeah, that's real shit, man. Definitely, you know.
Man, I'm telling you.
Because you look at it, man. I mean, you couldn't tell if we wasn't the hardest shit in the world. We were going around the world with the Ghetto Boys, the hardest group next to the MWA, you dig what I'm saying? So you couldn't tell us nothing bad,
But we were always fans, though. You know, we always looked to them guys, you know what I'm saying, because they already was there, man, and they was doing it. You know what I'm saying? They was the shit. They was the reason Rap-A-Lot was what Rap-A-Lot is, you know what I'm saying? So... It was all about the Ghetto Boys, man. And I know the baby Ghetto Boys had their fans or whatever, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, just probably just really didn't know. But, man, we always looked up to the Ghetto Boys. It's simple as that, man. Always.
And I would say most of the core Ghetto Boy fans of y'all music as well, too. You know, you got a lot of people that just hopped on bandwagons because everybody was talking about Ghetto Boys and this and that. But, like, most of the core fans, man, they still love the Gangsta Nips. They still love all the K Renos. They still love, you know what I'm saying? Like, Houston's so full of talent from the old school all the way up to the new school that it's unbelievable to fathom that at one point in time. Like, y'all had so many groups on Rap-A-Lot, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was refreshing because you knew it was going to have a certain sound and you knew... well, none of that shit gonna be bumped. None of it. Even if you didn't like the CD, if it wasn't your favorite CD or your favorite group, you weren't gonna be saying that shit was whack. I never heard nobody say nothing was whack off of Rap-A-Lot when we was coming up. And it was a couple other labels too, but Rap-A-Lot for sure was one of them labels that anything they drop, you're gonna at least try to get it, whether you buy straight up or bootleg. Or back then when we had the tapes,
that's,
you know,
right,
you used to just dub,
right,
dub tapes, you know. You might not like the whole album, but I'm gonna get the single, I get the maxi single or whatever, and dub this on that tape. And the tapes was a big commodity for us, and I had tapes of y'all's before CDs.
Yeah,
because when them CDs first came out, they was kind of pricey for a motherfucker. At $20, $25, and all that. Yeah. I used to work at McDonald's back then.
The first CD I got was the Resurrection Ghetto Boy CD. Everything else was a tape.
If a nigga didn't get them free, we didn't have them. So, gee, that's why I say we had all the Rap-A-Lot CDs, but we didn't have to pay for them. You know what I mean?
You guys still have a collection of that shit to this day?
I got a lot of wax. I don't have a lot of CDs, but I got a lot of wax on it.
What about you, Trump?
Yeah,
you got a lot of that stuff?
Too much. I just have a few Christmas copies, man, but I don't have like a total collection of, you know, a bunch of motherfuckers around, but I have a few of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I feel like the Griffin the Griffin album on wax, not the Def Jam. I feel like the original Griffin on wax. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's when they spelled G H. It's a hell of a label. You know what I'm saying? But hell of a roster, because everybody knows the roster, the label is just a shell. You know what I'm saying? And
that's right.
You guys were part
that's
of
right.
a huge fucking roster. Which you can go all the way up to Zero. Pimp C.
Face Mob and all that shit. You know.
Yeah, DMG. Right. I mean, this shit is just crazy. You know. Is there anything?
And I also want to, speaking of Pimp C, man. I want to give a shout out to Bun B, man. I hope he maybe tuning in. I got some listeners that's close by. I'm gonna let him know. But that's one artist, man, that never shy from showing us love and acknowledging us, man. On his interviews, or even if somebody just throw us out there, too much trouble, he never forget, man. That's a real cat, man. You know, not just because he do that, but that's just how he is. Not just with us, but a lot of other artists that's in the game, man, or that came before us, or that, you know, that's been around, or even the artists that's out there today, man. You know, so I just want to give a shout out to Bun B, man, and rest in peace, Pimp C, man. Big, big fans of them guys, man. And y'all, totally respect you guys, man.
Oh yeah, they was always very, 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 very admirable. And they was really, really one of my favorite groups next to the Ghetto Boys.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's one of my favorite groups of all time, too. Right along with 8-Ball and MJG.
Yeah.
8-Ball and MJG, that's right. You can't outside 8-Ball.
Yeah. When it comes to groups and shit, And it was so good for inner city cats to hear that shit, too.
You know what I say? My all-time favorite was us, so you can't put all on.
I hear you.
I want to thank you guys for coming on the show, hopefully you guys can make it next week to the round table.
I'll be there.
Yeah, without looking forward to it, man. Just be back. Part of something that was so, special to us, man, and just having you guys doing what you're doing right now, man, just keep it up, and we're going to totally support it. And like you say, we need, this game need individuals like yourself, man, and I just wish y'all the utmost respect, man, of the success, man, and whatever y'all doing, man.
Thanks, great opportunity for us, man,
but it's an absolutely great thing what y'all doing, man, so y'all just keep at it, man.
Man, much appreciated.
Hey, I had a question before y'all guys go real quick. What was it like doing the song that's playing in the background, Break It On? What was it like doing a posse track back then versus now where pretty much anybody could send you an email, here's my verse, this and that? Did y'all hook up in the studio together, or did you do it at different times?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, well, some artists had, you know, had already recorded, but yeah, we was in there with Scarface, man, and you know, mostly that's how we did it back then. You know, all the artists, you know, they come to the studio and they put it down in the booth, and that's what it was all about back then. You know, this shit, you know, this new wave shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't really feel it, but I mean that's the way it is now. So you just got to jump on because that's just how it go. But back then, if artists knew now how we jailed back then, man, the game would be way more appreciated, man, and way more respected, man.
Yeah, I would say that too.
Then just to be in the booth or just to see Scarface, you know what I'm saying, just in there, you know, record, man, doing his thing, you up close and checking him out to see how he deliver, man. I'm talking about motherfuckers can't get that nowadays, man. But if you can ever witness some shit like that, man, just really see that, man, you'll be overwhelmed. It's like, you know, it's like right now, you know, motherfuckers not even thinking, you know, not even touching no shit like that, man. And just to be a part of that, man, that's why I say, you know, just to hold on to that era, man, it's a great thing. It's unbelievable, man. So, you know, with that being said, man, it don't get no better than that, you know.
Yeah, back then, you would have to actually go in there and wait your turn and listen to these guys rap and get in there and fit your bars. Because it wasn't no emailing shit back then. It wasn't no, I text you, no. You're going to get in there with your pen and paper, and if your shit ain't good, they're going to tell you straight up, hey, that's not good enough. You're going to have to go. You're going to save your spot. And they're going to tell you to your face. They're not going to send it to you via text. They're going to tell you to your face, step your bars up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how that was
back
then.
I appreciate that as a fan, just hearing songs like that. You know,
oh yeah, me too. See,
what
I'm
you guys did
way.
Back then.
I want to ask you this too. When you guys came out with "Bringing Hell on Earth," you know, like we were talking about earlier, you had songs like, you know, "Purse Snatchers," "Take the Pussy." Did you have feminine groups come at you and different, you know, organizations protest you guys just like the Ghetto Boys did?
Man, I'm gonna tell you, man. We never, ever had a problem. You know what I'm saying? Too Much Trouble, Baby Ghetto Boys. We never had a problem. If a motherfucker had a problem with us, man, they kept it hush on the hush. I mean, and, you know, Rap-A-Lot, you know what I'm saying, back then, you know, I mean, Rap-A-Lot just wasn't to be fucked with. Don't nobody protest anything that we did. And maybe because we didn't get to that level, you know, as the Ghetto Boys did or whatever the case may be. But no, we never had that, you know, we never had any kind of conflict, confrontation for a motherfucker trying to protest us or get our shit banned or nothing like that, man. You know, so, I mean, you know, it was a good time for us, you know. We had a lot of bright spots, man, back then.
I would say we'd have tried to ban us, we'd have sold a little more.
Hey, I was about to say, had y'all ever experienced like any blackballing after y'all was off of Rap-A-Lot? Like, say y'all was trying to get deals to do other things, and people wasn't really messing with y'all because y'all wasn't on Rap-A-Lot, or they didn't know what to do, or was it kind
of
just,
man,
like?
I mean, yeah, hell yeah. You know, there was a lot of that going on. You know, motherfuckers. Then a lot of motherfuckers didn't want to fuck with us because we was a part of Rap-A-Lot. Motherfuckers were scared to fuck with whatever Rap-A-Lot, you know, whatever came out of Rap-A-Lot camp because they were scared of Rap-A-Lot. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it was that kind of shit, man. So we, you know, like I said, you know, this game hurt us in more ways than one. You know what I'm saying? It ain't, and don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sitting here, you know, trying to, you know, say, okay, Rap-A-Lot did this and Rap-A-Lot did that. But I'm saying the image that the motherfuckers that Rap-A-Lot set out, a lot of motherfuckers that, you know, got, you know, the reputation that Rap-A-Lot had, people shied away from the artists that was part of Rap-A-Lot and all that shit, man. You know what I'm saying? So it was hard to do a lot of shit when it came, you know, when the motherfucker had broke camp. You know, just that, you know what I mean, what it was. And motherfuckers just, you know, just felt scared or terrified for some reason. So motherfucker overlooked the talent. And just bypass that and say, fuck it, just
keep
the group, you know what I'm saying? We're going to just bypass them and shit, move on to the next thing. And that's just how that shit happened.
Yeah,
I'm glad y'all still doing shit now, man. So
Yeah, they figured if they deal with one of us, they wouldn't have the opportunity to mess with anything that Rapalot was doing. So, they, I mean, they kind of shied away from us, but, I mean, true light don't shy, you get what I'm saying? So, that's the only thing I got to say about that one.
You know what would have been a super group? You guys and Fifth Ward Boys. Did you guys ever, after doing that song, Take Me to War, did you guys ever think about doing a project together?
Thought about doing some, countless times, you know, but, you know, they had the same, they was dealing with the same shit we was dealing with, you know what I'm saying? They were underground records through Rap-A-Lot, but, you know, like I said, you know, it was just so hard for motherfuckers to have a focus on, man, in this game. You know, we was all dealing with the same type of suffer, you know what I'm saying, basically.
Yeah.
And that's just being real, man. I mean, we was all did it. So even though we wanted to do a lot of great things, we had all these great ideas, they never came to pass because motherfuckers got in the way. You know, and that's, you know, that's just what it was. Motherfuckers got in the way, man.
See, I'm glad y'all are telling these stories. So hopefully, you know, the younger generation, they can hear these stories and they can work through certain shit to get that betterment out of it. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a lot of great ideas, but they get shot down because there's other bullshit people in the way. So somebody listening now could be going through something with their group.
Well, you know, and that's really what you just said, man. And the worst thing that you can ever do to another individual is try to control a motherfucker, man. And that's what the game was about back then. It was about control and, you know, being able to, you know, having control over a human being, man. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker's trying to do the same thing that the next person's trying to do. And that's just eat. That's it. Take care of it. That's all the motherfucker want to do. And we all know that. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you can't cry with spoiled milk. But at the end of the day, you know, if a motherfucker, a lot of these artists that's coming out now, if they listen to this right now, you got to just be patient, man. Motherfucker got to get patience first, you know what I'm saying? And that's something that we didn't know nothing about because we came from a life of struggle and hustling, doing a lot of different things. Some of the same things a lot of cats doing today, but it was a different ball game back then. That was just a way of life. There's so many opportunities now to where motherfuckers don't even have to do that. So, you know, if you be patient and just, you know what I'm saying, try to make the right moves and right decisions, hopefully, you know, their situation, you know, won't be like Too Much Trouble was with the Gangsta Nips or the Dopeies, the terrorists and all these people, you know what I'm saying? So they could have been so successful, the Fifth Ward Boys in this game, that everybody's living the same lifestyle that was part of the era. And that's, you know what I'm saying? And when I say the same lifestyle, we all still, you know, I don't know what they're doing day to day, but you already know we ain't none of us millionaires. So, you know, with that being said, you know, we all on that just a normal fucking life, you know, this you got the same struggles, trauma, tribulations, just like, you know what I'm saying, the average person, you know, even though people look at us like we is this big success, but we all dealing with the same issues. We all been down the same road. And I know every artist probably hadn't said this, but I'm bold enough to say it, and that's just reality because that's the truth of it, man. You know what I'm saying? We none of us haven't really ate. I've been proof off this game with all the albums we put out.
I was just going to say the same thing. I was going to say the same thing. You can probably count on at least one hand. And one, two fingers. Let's count on two fingers. How many millionaires or how many thousandaires that Rap-A-Lot has actually produced as artists? We're not talking about no one in office. We're not talking about no one in management. We are talking about artists that actually, because a record company can't sell shit if they don't have nothing to sell. No record company can sell shit if they don't have nothing to sell. Now, count on one hand, how many of them are well off?
Yeah, you right, man, and that ain't even only Rap-A-Lot. That's a lot of these labels.
That's a lot of these
labels. That's a lot of it. That's a lot of that back in the gap. That's right.
They all practice the same thing. We're gonna get these guys off the street. They don't know a damn thing, and we ain't gonna teach them and make them feel like they doing something because they in that rapping. Oh, they in that rapping while we in there getting paid. Oh, don't worry about the money. Doing the pebbles. Don't worry about the money. Don't do this. Don't worry about that. You just keep rapping. Now these guys can take what we did way back then and get mega money if they just pay a goddamn attention.
You ain't lying. That's pretty much a lot of them rappers was equivalent to working at regular 9-to-5 jobs when they were signed to these labels, and they want them to rap about million-dollar houses and million-dollar cars. But if they weren't doing that, they probably could have been furthering their education per se, or picking up a trade, or just gaining that knowledge, and could have been
that
making more money now than what they was. Like a lot of them got to go back to nine to fives. How do you go back to a nine to five? When you was on MTV or BET or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be hard.
And I'm so glad, man, I'm so glad that you said that, you know what I'm saying? You hit it right on the head because...
I was a bad fucking...
You hit it right on the head, man, because you have a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, that know that you was part of that success. And motherfuckers that see you now, they expect you to be a motherfucker that worked. A motherfucker that you know what I'm saying, that need to do this as if you never even did an album. So you got the ones that respect the rap game, that respect us for what we did, but then you got another motherfucker on the other side of the boat saying, okay, this motherfucker ain't shit. Okay, what you gonna do today? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have to deal with all that as an artist, man. And so that's when I say motherfucker being crippled. It's so many ways, and people don't understand that. People that worked all their lives or that picked up a trade, they don't understand that side of it when it comes from artists. You understand what I'm saying? And they feel like a motherfucker still need to go do this, need to go do that, but it's not this simple. When all your life you've been subject to just doing this one particular thing, man, or two particular things, and if it's not dope dealing, it's rapping or some shit like that. You understand?
Right,
so these some motherfuckers say now when you're down on your ass, the okay is try to shit, you know, kick you and shit on you and say, okay, motherfucker, you would rap a lot, but okay, that's fine, that's over with, now what? You see what I'm saying?
There's
a lot of that going on, man. So you know, you got to deal with all that kind of pressure.
What you got now? Oh yeah, you did this, you did that, you was doing this, you did that, but what you got now? Look at you now. You ain't shit. You know what I mean? So that's how you grow up.
Yeah, that's right.
You grow up and you learn to move on and learn and be a duck and let the water roll off your back. You dig what I'm saying?
You gotta take it. You gotta take it on the chin, man, and you know, just gotta take it in. You know, just realize you're getting older and you was part of something, man, and you know, and you can still continue to make good music, but at the end of the day, a motherfucker got to have his thing kept on and just really make something happen for himself and for a family. You can't just, you know, that was the past, you know what I'm saying? And we already know that shit ain't never promised. The music business ain't promised because it wasn't promised then when we thought it was. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, that's just what it is, man.
Yeah, we're all just fortunate to be here right now. You know,
that's right. That's it, man.
It's a crazy, crazy world we're living in. But, you know, like you said, when you got kids, you got to change your whole different outlook. You got to change your whole different perspective on things. And me as a writer, I've been doing this 15, 16 years. I feel what you're saying because a lot of shit I've accomplished, but at the end of the day, you got a whole group of motherfuckers that are like, they're like, who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? So what if I talk to Snoop Dogg or this guy or that guy? Who gives a fuck?
Exactly.
You know, what kind of bread you got? That's what they're thinking in their mind. But it ain't about bread. It's about what kind of heart you have. What kind of what kind of work you put in. You know what I mean? What kind of fucking hustle you put in. And
that's right.
You know, that's what it's about. And what type of person you are. How you carry yourself to your brothers in the
there
game.
There you go, man.
And, you know, so salute to you guys, man. I can tell you guys are some good dudes, and I look forward to having you guys on the show again, especially next week on this Rap A Lot Roundtable. Make sure to tune in 9 p.m. Central, December 19th. This shit's gonna be crazy. I don't know who's gonna be here yet. I'm gonna get with you guys and maybe I'll give you a list of who I need, and
okay,
we can make this happen. But shout out to everybody on the phone tonight. Shout out to you guys. Rest in peace, Ghetto MC. Shout out to Bar None. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate you guys. Is there any shout outs you guys want to say to close it out?
Yeah, I just, you know, me basically, man, I just want to, like I say, rest in peace, Ghetto. I want to give a shout out to you guys, too, for doing what you're doing, like I said early on, man. And, you know, just to all the listeners out there, you know, just keep on listening, you know, and keep on supporting good music, whether it's Too Much Trouble, whoever it is, man. Just know that we, you know, we older, we're in this game now. You know, we're talking about the issues now because, you know, there's no reason to hide anything because the fans deserve to know the truth. You guys deserve to know the truth of how we really feel and what's going on. So, I mean, we don't have anything to hide, so we just regular people. You know what I'm saying? We're not trying to put on or, you know, a stunt. You know, so we don't have time for that shit. You know, we're just living a normal, regular life, and it just feel good to be appreciated that we know that our music didn't go in vain by the fans, all the support that we still have out there. So it's just overwhelming feeling, man. And I just want to say, you know, I appreciate that, you know, from the bottom of my heart, man. You know, and I know Ghetto would feel the same way as well if he was still here.
One more thing, yeah. One more thing, though, before you go. What do you guys think about these dudes? We call them swaggots. These skinny jeans wearing motherfuckers walking around with youth suspension.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, me, myself, you know what I'm saying? That's some, I don't discriminate or none of that shit, but I don't fuck with that. I don't fuck with that. I don't like the way it look. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The motherfucker can't, nuts can't breathe, your ass tight. You know what I'm saying? If you're a real motherfucker, real motherfuckers ain't going out like that. I'm just, yeah, that's my opinion. You know what I'm saying? I ain't with that, so, you know, I don't judge people, none of that type of shit, but I don't want that shit around me.
Hey, real
Yeah,
hey,
yeah,
they're targeting the male youth, though. That's what they're doing. They're targeting the male youth. And now you got these 11-year-olds, and I say this time and time again, but now I see a video of these 11-year-olds are in a circle rapping about sucking dick. And these are dudes.
See, definitely following motherfuckers. I personally, I don't give a shit about it. I could give less than a shit about it. See, I DJ, and I have to actually know what these people are saying because you go to these parties and they want to hear these types of shit. I could give less than a fuck about it. But hey, you know, as a businessman, I gotta know. But you'll never ever catch me around or being in anything like that. I don't even like when these guys be walking around with their pants on their goddamn ankles.
Yeah. All that shit, man. The skinny jeans, and I mean, you know, motherfuckers just don't need to cut it out. I mean, that's
down.
Yeah, that's just too, you know, that's just going too far. You know what I'm saying? As far as your masculinity as a man, to me, you know, I don't, like I say, all that judging, but that's just my preference is far from that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we just, you know, I motherfucker, you know, I'm everybody, you know, if you know me, I've been around me, you know, I'm a street motherfucker, so I ain't with that skinny jean. I'm just not with that. I don't understand it. You know, it's new to me, and I just, you know, I just can't see it. I can't get past that shit.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Well,
I
feel like Dave Chappelle, because I'm not putting on the dress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Hey, look, they want to hold their pants down under their ass and everything, but if somebody made them do that, now you got to have your pants under your ass, or they wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's
like what, Dopey?
If you are not a strong parent and you can raise your children right, they would not do that.
Hey, get your kids. I always say this. You know, my little one just took up playing the clarinet. Get your kids into music. Get them into art. You know, let them know that
right.
They don't need to have their brain hooked up to the cyberland 24/7. They don't need to be in front of a fucking video game all the time. You know,
that's
get
right,
them in
that's
tune
right.
with who they are as people. And
exactly,
you know,
man. That's how we do it around here. That's right.
You know?
Yeah, pick up a book. Didn't I say that earlier? Pick up a book.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hey, can you, I want you to email this interview to my email manager, too.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm going to send this to you and 106 other ones, man. Feel free to listen to them all. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
People right. from No Limit, from Suave, from Profit Posse, I mean, everybody. You know what I'm saying? And
man,
this list keeps growing, and I'm honored you guys are now a part of it because it's forever set in stone.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
you guys join a huge elite group of who I consider, you know what I'm saying, talented people.
Legend.
I grew up listening to y'all. Everyone, there ain't a guest that I have on my show that I didn't buy a CD of, or a tape, or even a bootleg, or whatever it was. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I hear it in your voice, in your heart, man. I hear it. You know, so you know, I hear it, man.
Appreciate you. Appreciate
need more cats like you, man. You know, and I know y'all good guys too. You know, I can tell. You know, the whole environment over there. Even though I'm not over there, but I just feel like I'm right there with y'all. I know y'all some humble cats, man. And you know, and words speak a thousand. So, man, we really appreciate that what y'all doing tonight, man. Seriously.
Man, that's what
we appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no, real talk, sure. Man, real talk. You guys take care of yourselves, and we'll get at you real soon. We'll see you guys next week. Peace. UGSforLife.com. What's up, brother?
You know what it is, Perez? You know what it is?
Yeah. Hey, get my email address. I want you to shoot those emails to me, man.
I'll have Black send it to me.
Okay, that'll work.
Or you want to give it up, like if someone wants to get at you for like booking or anything like that, or?
Yeah, you can reach me at DwayneBarard@ymail.com. It's DwayneBarard, ymail.com.
And what about you, Black? You got a contact if someone wants to get at you for, you know, production or features or anything?
Yeah, you can get at me at howzyt.th@gmail.com.
Definitely. And again, you know, we'll be debuting them songs real soon. Thanks again for coming on, fellas. Appreciate y'all.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
Thanks, Perez. I'll be getting at you, Perez.
All right, take care, brother.
All right.
I'm a swinger, nigga, I'm straight. If you wanna get paid, it ain't never too late. I got the Tech 9, the pump inside. My motherfucking driver, that's all I need to ride. It's straight up gun smoke, legs broke, necks choke, money dope. Straight up killings, no feelings. I'm on a jet mission, peeping out the shit real slow. In my fucking Lucy and I'm sitting real low. I see what I want, now it's time to go get it. And I don't give a fuck if your niggas ain't with it. You know how it is when a motherfucker's starving, so I'm gonna get mine by doing some motherfucking robbing. Jumped out the hoopie, told my driver to hold up, throw it in my clip. I'm finna make this food fold up. I'm going by myself and I'm busting a nine. If I don't come back, it was my motherfucking time. I don't fear death and I don't bar them niggas. The sword is my nine, I guess I die by the trigger. Cause all I'm searching for is them fat ass cookies. Don't fuck with this shit if you ain't nothing but a rookie. Approaching the premises like a motherfucking cat. It ain't long now because I know where it's at. Step to the side, peek through the window for a second to check shit out, because a nigga unexpected. I see one fool getting flooded at water. I fried my damn self, it's finna be a slaughter. Ran to the front door, was still wet, but I still ain't seen no motherfucking money yet. But fuck wasting time, one drop, as I try to flee, another one got stuck on the floor, because I know that I made it. When one time comes, it says drug related. Today the motherfucking was my decision, more power to me. Watch your back, fool, I'm on a jack mission.
Get your ass shot the fuck up. SCAG, nigga coming with the Glock cock. The knife to your head, drop the cash like it's hot.
No need for a ski mask, cause after I get the grip, you'll be broke with slugs, then drugged to a ditch. Motherfuckers can't fake me when I'm on the attack. I got bitches that's down to set a nigga up for the kidnap. First comes the 211, then your 187 after I got your funds. Breaking them all proper, identities like the shocker. When you beat me, I got to sell a nigga's Betty Crocker. DMT, S-E-A-G, up in niggas' houses. Torturing your spouses, give up the cash and the ounces. Hurry up, punk, before I break your fucking arm. Or you ain't got no money, TMT, heat up the orange. Burned his bitch, he said the money's in a chair. Honey, G's was there, he didn't have no time to say a prayer. Slacking, lacking, tripping, unloaded the clip and now he's smoked and broke from the motherfucking Jack Mitch.
I'm taking what I want and make some room to keep it here.
To say it, just down, to do what's happening, nigga.
I'm taking what I want and make some room to keep it here.
To say it, just down, to do what's happening, nigga.
Give up what you got or get your ass.
Once my nigga the nigga the 9 mm Glock is cocked, your ass will get robbed and shot on the spot. No need to wish for another fucking chance, cause it's too late, ho. Y'all ready to sit it and pissed in your pants. Most niggas get ripped off, others ripped in half. Their body found after they drown in my blood bath. The band-aid bandit is taking everything you got. And if it don't cooperate, you don't get well. He'll die with nigga Jack, huh. I just take what I want with my gas. I catch you slipping at the motherfucking red light. I just fire you from the club on a late night. Whatever the fuck I want, you're gonna give it here. Or your ass will wind up in a piss of care. You shouldn't have bullshitted me in the first place. You should have just opened up the motherfucking safe. Yo, money is the root of all evil. And I'ma do what I gotta do to get it, fool. Even if it mean I have to take me a life.
Songs, make sure to get that Murder Mass Music Show mixtape, UGSforLife.com. Tomorrow night we got the Fahrenheit Hour number 4 coming on 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. Check that out. First Degree DE, spitting a lot of games. And of course, Saturday, KFYB number like 67. Them dudes climbing the fucking the charts there every week, man, just continuously dropping the show. So shout out to KFYB. Sunday, I don't know if we're doing the Church of Reality or not, man. I want to do the Men's Rights show, just a matter of finding a guest. So other than that, look out for BG's Underground Classics, and quit supporting this bubblegum shit and learn your history. Go out and buy them old albums. You know what I'm saying? Too Much Trouble. You know, support them cats.
UGS Radio, and this is the Murder Master Music Show motherfucking mixtape, only on UGSforLife.com.
I mean, this raw is coming, blown as fuck, what they think? You want it, come get it, come on and walk the plane. I'm taking out my enemies, cause I'm going to rank. I'm talking platinum game, shit, you can take it to the bank. I mean, this raw is coming, blown as fuck, what they think? this game, it's been flame. Y'all motherfuckers, y'all been lame. Having you niggas would never get to the level that I'm on, cause I bring pain. Try not to complain, but I hard to hold back the verbal chopper. Try to make a nigga the proper, man, I gotcha, this ain't the same thing. Flow so hard, nigga, nigga wanna shush me. But I'm walking like Kush B. Them niggas is crook cheeks, and I'ma go get that y'all woman to book me. I bet I hook these competition by the fucking ears. We just water whipping pussy. Nigga been doing this shit for years. No need for tears. Wasn't no bitches that talking this shit about me and my clicker. They must when I know what they fucking with. Doing this, I kill them. They come and try out of the ring. Be out of a word, but you hate us. So what you gon' have to throw up? But you vibe in the air. My niggas don't care about me, but you suckin'. I said it right back and forth with your hair. Who want it? Come get it. Come on and walk the plank. I'm taking out my adversaries cause I'm pulling rank. I'm talking platinum game shit. You can take it to the bank. I be the rawest, coming flawless, but what they think? Who want it? Come get it. Come on and walk the plank. I'm taking out my enemies cause I'm pulling rank. I'm talking platinum game shit. You can take it to the bank. I be the rawest, coming flawless, but what they think? Man, the river, the bottle town. We fuckin' the pound by sippin' them crown. River, the shorts and the buzzer. Don't hate us and letting them know what them killin' be found. Ready for what was I bringin' out to the river? The misery, AMP team. Checking out the scene, know what I mean? Nigga, get ready, I'm ringin' my team. Beginning and gleam and gloss and false. See me right clean, nigga, know that you see it. You to the motherfucker, teach to the motherfucker, see. I know that you wish you could be it. Pay up to be every brother in this game. Fuck all them haters that I would fell off. A better than worse than that brother that cousin that paid the cow to be the boss. You saw, so down with the motherfucker, hear more click inside of the bridge. Nigga, the back of the pain lane. Get the fuck up out of women on the lane. Nigga, was straight AK, but nigga, be insane. Lay on my back with the gap, I'd be here. Check out the niggas out like old summer. Better get ready, cause we bigger than summer. If it never ever was get ready with old drama. Who want it? Come get it. Come on and walk the plane. I'm taking out my adversaries, cause I'm pulling rank. I'm talking platinum game shit. You can take it to the bank. I be the rawest, coming flawless, but what they think? Who want it? Come get it. Come on and walk the plane. I'm taking out my enemies cause I'm pulling rank. I'm talking platinum game shit. You can take it to the bank. I be the rawest, coming flawless, but what they think?
Shut the fuck up and get the fuck out of here, you stupid cocksucker.